This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
This is a Roundtable Rewind with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.
LT, how are you today?
I'm good, man. I am good. What are the chances that Dunaway is awake at 6 o'clock?
Well, I would hope not.
Well, we got to be streaming right now, man.
I would hope not. I mean, if you're sick, get some rest, man. And if you wake up at whatever time every morning and you got a chance to sleep, sleep. That's the way I feel.
You know, if you're listening to us and you're on this regular routine of getting up, it is difficult to ever sleep in. And, you know, I go back last Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And that was just a week ago today. And I had a hard time sleeping in on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Sleeping in for me is probably, I mean, it's hard for me to get past 7 or 7:30.
Yeah, I was going to say 7:30 is.
It's really digging for me.
You got to force it, man.
You do.
Yeah, just stay there.
You know, you've got a teenager. I've got a teenager. Mine can sleep till 11:30 or noon.
Mine's not that bad. I mean,
You know, I don't know if she's sleeping. I know she's in her room.
Yeah,
though.
She just doesn't come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that possibility. We got a lot to get to today. We kick off another big week of football with the NFL tonight and then championship weekend coming up this weekend. Tonight starts actually a really big NFL weekend. There are some really, I was looking at this earlier, some really good games this weekend that have playoff implications.
Yeah, three marquee matchups when you're talking about, you know, just that San Francisco, New Orleans doesn't get any better than that. Sunday night, we've got a great one with the Rams hosting the Seahawks. But this is a huge game for the Cowboys.
Massive. You
know, not so much for the Bears. I mean, right now the Cowboys, they're saying still a 74% chance to win the division. This is how bad the NFC East is. The Bears, on the other hand, they're two games back of the wild card. Look, if they were to win out and go 10-6 possibility, just don't see the Bears, who have, by the way, won two in a row, being able to have that kind of consistency. Hard to believe, though. Do you realize the NFC East has gone 14 straight seasons without a repeat champion?
So different teams won it for 14 straight years. Yep. That is hard to believe.
Yeah, the last time the Cowboys have gone back-to-back was when they won five straight from 92 to 96 when they were winning championships with Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin.
Because it doesn't feel like the Redskins have contributed a lot to that. I know they won it recently.
You know, I think they won it in, it might have been 2012 when we were down in Miami for Alabama and Notre Dame.
But, it doesn't like, 14 years, I feel like the Redskins have given you one of those 14.
Yeah,
it could be incorrect.
Seems like it.
But that's what it feels like. The Bears, like you said, if they were to get back into it, they're going to have to chase down Minnesota in their own division. Good news is they get one more game against the Vikings. Bad news is they've only got four more games. So
you know what's pretty crazy? Dak Prescott doesn't seem like he's been a starting quarterback for a long time in this league, right? He came in 2016.
Yeah, I think maybe we're more in tune to it because he played here in the SEC, so we saw him in college. So.
But it just doesn't seem like he's been playing forever.
Yeah.
Just to put it in perspective, you know how many night games, primetime games he's played in?
I mean, it's Dallas, so a lot.
He's played 20 already.
20?
Yeah.
That's more than I would have thought.
Yeah. And what do you think his record in those 20 games under the lights?
He's at Dallas. I would say he's 10-10 right now.
He's 14-6.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that game is tonight. We'll get to those other games a little bit later on because it is a big weekend. But Fox has the game 7:20 tonight. Dallas and Chicago. I don't guess you could call it a must win for Dallas, but it's a really need to win for Dallas, right? I mean, it's not a must win yet.
I don't know. You know, I mean, realistically, 8-8 can win this division.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is. The NFC is so good, so deep.
But if you look at the rest of their schedule, Lance, the Rams are who they play next, as you well know. Rams are better than the Bears, right?
Yeah, and I think the Rams are probably a little better than the Cowboys. It's close.
Then you're at the Eagles. They're about like the Bears, but that's a division game. Could be for the division, in fact.
Yeah, but that's three very winnable games, three very losable games.
And then the Redskins at the end. So I don't know that it's must win for Dallas, but I'll tell you what, you've put yourself in a lot of jeopardy if you lose this one.
Well, you can go 2-2 down the stretch as long as you beat Philadelphia.
Right. Yeah, that's the one you have to win.
Yeah.
So that is tonight, 7:20 from Chicago on Fox. We'll talk a little bit more about that later.
You know, it's weird that we don't have college action tonight.
I know. I was about to say that this is the game tonight. This is the end. This is it.
First time since August we haven't had Thursday night college
action. I know you want to be part of championship Saturday, but if you were the Mountain, Would you consider playing your championship game tonight?
Yeah, or, I mean, even if I'm the MAC or the Sun Belt.
Yeah, because look, I mean, would you want...
CUSA.
The Sun Belt...
I mean, imagine if we had UAB and Florida Atlantic tonight.
I mean, I think a lot of people would choose to watch that over an NFL game. There are people that just like the college game more.
Well, I would be excited about that matchup tonight.
Yeah.
Now, come Saturday morning, I'll watch it. Won't be nearly as excited. Probably will have more of an eye on Baylor and Oklahoma.
But, I mean, if you had ULL and Appalachian State tonight from Boone, North Carolina at 7 o'clock on ESPN.
Yeah, all in.
I'd watch the heck out of that. Like you said, the MAC championship.
Yeah,
crap, they play Tuesday night games during the season. Why would they not play their championship game on a Thursday night?
Look, it's not helping attendance, but I think the Pac-12 championship does this right.
Well, they don't get attendance anyway, yeah.
Yeah, playing it on a Friday night.
Yeah, they wouldn't get it no matter when they played it.
You know, way back in the day, I say 15 years ago, the MAC always played theirs on Friday night.
I mean, I guess you want as much of a full week for prep as you can, but it's also about getting some publicity for your conference. And if you're the Sun Belt, it wouldn't hurt to have a little publicity and have ULL and Appy State playing tonight rather than going head-to-head Saturday with the MAC, the Big 12, and part of the Conference USA.
Okay, help me out here. When the MAC used to play their Friday night championship games, who was Toledo's coach, the bigger guy? And they were always there. You know what I'm talking about,
I do.
Right?
He wore the whistle. I cannot say his name. I want to say Tom Arth, but that's not who it is because he's a coach.
No.
But it seems like it was Tom, right?
Yeah. Rockstar, can you help us out here? You remember the bigger football coach, Toledo?
Yeah, I mean, why would you ask Rockstar that?
Because the dude was on all the time. I mean, it seemed like they won every championship.
Tom Amstutz.
That's it.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, Tom Amstutz, 58-41 in his time there at Toledo.
Yeah, yeah, it's, you know, pretty good years.
He won two conference titles, 2001, 2004, according to the old Wikipedia page.
You think alive or dead?
Tom's still with us, according to Wikipedia, Lance, yeah. Age 64 right now.
Well, he got out of coaching in 2008, though.
Yeah, never came back. I would have thought Tom Amstutz would still be coaching right now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would think.
He wore the whistle, right? He had the buzz cut. He was a big guy. He really looked like Rockstar. If you were going to do a sitcom similar to Coach, like you just really wanted to be funny, he'd be the coach, right? Small college, small town. He looked like the coach from like an ABC sitcom.
Okay, you're going to be blown away. There is one coach to come under his tree that
went on to become
a head coach in college football.
I saw it.
Oh, too bad you've seen this. I mean, what would the odds be on getting this?
I never in a million years would have guessed
Garrick McGee, who was UAB's head coach for 1 year, right?
So random. I think it was more than a year, Garrick.
Well, maybe it was two. Maybe it was 12
looks
and
like
13.
Coach Oga got stung by a bunch of bees.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Tom Amstutz, not Garrick McGee, by the way. Is who Rockstar's talking about. Coach O's stuck by bees. But he really does. He looks like if you were just trying to do, we're doing a sitcom, we need a guy that looks like a funny head coach, Tom Amstutz is your guy. Wore the whistle, big fella. Never thought I'd talk about Tom Amstutz. Yes.
You know, they're pretty good coaches in Toledo's history, though. Gary Pinkel, Nick Saban.
You're right. They have had.
I guess Don James was at Kent State.
The MAC the MAC produces some coaches, man.
It's funny, I was going through Chick-fil-A the other night, the drive through, and these two kids, you know, they have that, I don't even know why they have the actual window that you pull up to order, because they always walk up to take your order now, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And
they meet you on the line.
Yeah, and so if you're going to pay a credit card, they'll swipe it right there, but if you pull right around the corner, there's always the dude waiting if you want to pay cash. Well, there were two of them the other night, and they were discussing UAB football and what a great fit UAB would be for the MAC.
I don't know. It seems like a weird fit to me, actually.
Well, it does. I just thought it was interesting.
It's a random conversation.
Talking UAB football and MAC football at the same time.
Yeah.
Is Todd there?
It was like 10 degrees.
I mean, I don't know what would be the closest school to Birmingham in the MAC. Ball State? I mean, I don't even know. That'd be a terrible fit in the MAC. I don't know why anybody would want UAB in the MAC.
Yeah, maybe they were just saying it more so that UAB would be really competitive, and that's kind of the level they're playing at right now. I think CUSA is better than the MAC, though.
As a football conference?
Well, I'm just talking about teams.
I mean, I don't disagree right offhand.
I mean, Florida Atlantic would dust through that conference right now.
You think so?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I haven't spent time breaking down the MAC versus Conference USA, but you think FAU is that good?
Yeah, well, I think FAU is really good. Obviously, yeah. UAB is really good. Back to the conference championship game. I just think there are better top-heavy CUSA teams than there are MAC teams right now.
Well, we'll see if FAU can win that conference. It's some news, by the way, on Lane Kiffin. I'll go ahead and give you that.
Is it done?
No, it appears he's been offered. A lot of people believe he's been offered the Arkansas job.
You know,
that's been heavily reported
yesterday with some of our friends, big UAB backers, and they're hoping that news breaks this week.
Oh, yeah. Of course you would want that to happen. There are people that think he's in the mix at Ole Miss still, that if he decides not to take the Arkansas job, Ole Miss would like to have him. But Football Scoop, now let me stop and warn you, that some of these football rumor sites, that's all they deal in, so they do get a lot wrong. They do get a lot right. But when you're dealing strictly in coaching rumors, you're not going to be 100%. But Football Scoop reports Florida Atlantic is ready to pony up more money to Kiffin, who's making about $1 million a year, 5 years, $4.75 million. But there was an interesting clause in his contract I was unaware of, and it was from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. When Kiffin took the Florida Atlantic job 3 years ago, he purchased a $2.1 million home in Boca, right? And I guess 2.1 gets you something decent in Boca.
I would guess. I mean, it's probably probably in Boca, it's your typical house in Homewood, maybe?
Yeah. So, I mean, we learned from Bill Clark earlier this week that he's got a boat because he said when UAB was at the Boca Bowl, Kiffin was texting photos from his own boat there.
Okay, let's not forget, though, that Kiffin has made millions of dollars before with the Raiders.
Yeah, but here's
Tennessee,
what's interesting.
USC.
Here's what's interesting in his contract. He bought a $2.1 million house. You know who holds the loan on the house?
Florida Atlantic.
And if he stays through 2021 season, they forgive the loan. He owns the house outright. Now, I mean, look, if you go work at Arkansas, they're probably going to pay you $5 or $6 million, so that's pennies.
Well, if you,
but still, that's an interesting clause, I thought.
Okay, but if you're Lane Kiffin's agent, do you not negotiate in the deal with Arkansas? Hey, look, pay off the remainder of the loan.
You'd have to because it's part of his buyout, yeah. He's on the hook for the remainder of the house and the school buyout in the contract.
But part of my deal with Arkansas is, look, I do like Boca. I'm not going to coach there. I'm going to come to Fayetteville, but I want that house.
It's my vacation home.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to pay off the loan. And I'm sure there are plenty of people at Arkansas that can pull that one off.
You know what's surprising about that? Well, I guess it's not surprising because we tried to rank these jobs, the three open jobs in the SEC between Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Missouri. We all had Ole Miss number one. And right now it seems like Lane Kiffin's like, Arkansas's first choice.
Yeah.
And if I had to take Ole Miss, I would take it.
It's been very quiet at Arkansas, and they've been without a head coach longer than anybody in the conference. So they've had plenty of time to get this thing done. So they're obviously waiting on either someone to say yes or whoever has said yes to be finished with something they need to be finished with so they can make it public.
Do you find it interesting, though, that Arkansas – well, you know, I mentioned the fact that Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin's brother, Chris Kiffin, who was there, and some of the sanctions involved him. Do you find it interesting that Arkansas – they get rid of a guy like Bobby Petrino based on off-the-field stuff, and I understand it was an employee of the university, but Lane Kiffin does have some baggage.
He does, yes.
So are you a little surprised based on – does it finally tell you that Arkansas says, look, we just want to win?
Yeah, absolutely. We think he can win. We went with the no-baggage route, and we're like – 3 in a million in conference since then. And, so, yeah, we just want to win.
And really, Brett Bielema, in retrospect, looked like a pretty good coach.
Well, I mean, in comparison to Chad Morris, yeah. Chad Morris never won a conference game. At least Bielema probably won 5 or 6, right, in his time there?
Yeah, at
maybe
least.
More?
I think 11.
11? So, apparently, I'm reading, and I would not be shocked if nobody on the show is at all aware of this. No shock. There was a fireball through the sky last night in Birmingham. Are you aware? Either of you aware of this?
No.
Oh, no, I did not see outside that much last night.
So here's what's weird. Apparently, it was very visible. Like, a lot of people saw this fireball, and they are, I don't know if they report it or, like, they start
tweeting
about it.
I mean, what is a fireball? It's a meteorite, right?
Yeah, but you know what it was? If I read this right, and I'm trying to find the source where I read this.
Part of a satellite.
No, it was part of a meteor or an asteroid or whatever.
I mean, that thing's got to land somewhere, and if that lands in your house, that's bad luck.
But listen
right?
How small it was. Yeah, it's pretty bad luck.
Have we done a welfare on Dunway
yet? Or
good
luck.
That's true, maybe. That's why Jim's not here. But it was only like, I read, it was only 4 inches in diameter and weighed like 3 pounds, yet created a fireball in the sky. That's incredible to me.
Well, it's coming from, you know, that speed.
I know, but think of how small that is.
Yeah, but burning up and going to the speed of all the way in the atmosphere.
Okay, hits you in the skull, what happens?
Oh, you're dead.
You got a good story.
Yeah. Didn't.
You don't.
Wasn't there an asteroid or a meteor or something that hit a house in Sylacauga one time? Didn't that happen?
I think this becomes urban legend.
No, I think it really happened, though.
It was years ago.
It was like the 60s or 70s, yeah. I think. Yeah. No, I think an asteroid actually hit a house.
I don't know if it was Sylacauga, but I know it was Alabama.
No, I think it was in Sylacauga. Hey, at Batteries Plus Bulbs, start it up, keep it up at Batteries Plus Bulbs plus phone repair plus key fobs. Get the know-how you need right now. Stop by Batteries Plus Bulbs for screen repair, key fob programming, battery replacement, and more. Learn more at batteriesplus.com.
Okay, so I've got some video here. Not video. I've got some photos of what happens when a meteorite hits a house.
Well, it probably destroys it.
So this was in Uruguay.
Yeah, bad break for them.
Yeah, it really didn't do too much damage. It just says, imagine coming home to find a hole in your roof and a mysterious black rock sitting on your couch.
Well, I think I can piece that together.
This became reality in September of 2015. It didn't do too much. Well, it did a little bit of damage.
Okay, so here we go. This is from Wikipedia. The Sylacauga meteorite fell November 30, 1954 in Oak Grove near Sylacauga. And it hit a lady named Ann Elizabeth Fowler Hodges, who actually did. I know, that is a lot of names. She didn't die, though. She survived it, according to this.
Wow, you know,
that's
weird.
Pretty crazy.
So I'm reading this article right now. No humans have ever been killed by a meteorite. Most tend to land in the ocean or unpopulated areas. There's only one incident a human has been hit directly, and it was Ann Hodges, 1954.
Yeah, and she didn't die.
In Alabama, USA. So this is an article from overseas.
It's the first ever documented extraterrestrial object to have injured a human being. It happened right there in Sylacauga.
Yeah, I always thought if you threw a quarter off the Empire State Building and it hit you in the head, it would kill you.
Yeah.
So how does she live from getting hit by a meteor?
But listen to this. The grapefruit size, that's pretty big. To be coming from space. The grapefruit-sized fragment crashed through the roof of a farmhouse, but it bounced, and that's what probably saved her.
So what kind of damage did it do to
her? She was taking a nap on the couch, badly bruised on one side of her body, but able to walk, it said.
Can you imagine if she called, I can't come into work. Well, why? Okay, you're not going to believe this, but I got hit by a meteorite.
Okay. Come on, Ann Elizabeth Fowler Hodges. You get your butt to work.
Well, I mean, it looks like a piece of toast, like a badly cut piece of bread.
Yeah.
You're looking at the
That's just the slice. Yeah, they sliced it to see the insides.
Yeah. But I mean,
but it said it was grapefruit size. And I bet it, listen, I mean, I hate to say this. She's departed since 1972. But it probably kills her if it doesn't hit the table first, right?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, she caught it on a bounce and it did a ton of damage.
Well, I mean, it would cleanly take off a leg or an arm.
It would have to think. All right, 621, Jocks Roundtable, you're home for meteorites. Scott is up first with us on the show today. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about y'all?
Great, thank you.
Don't laugh when I say this, but how crazy am I that I still want Gus to be fired?
I think you're in the majority still. Auburn fans that I've talked to, I think they're super excited about going 9-3. And beating Alabama, but I still think most Auburn fans out there want Gus gone.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to win us a championship. He just can't do it. And look at what all we're losing this year. Next year is going to be it's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad.
See, I really don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think it's going to be a lot like this year. We looked at the schedule. Yesterday or two days ago.
Yeah, you know, the fortunate thing for Auburn is the ease, or at least the potential ease of the schedule. If Auburn was playing the schedule they played this year.
Oh, yeah, brutal.
Would be a big-time problem. But just based on Auburn being favored in these games, there's a good chance, even with all of this attrition going on to the NFL, that Auburn goes 8-4.
I think you're 5-0 going to Georgia next year. I mean, listen, Scott, you tell me. Listen to your first five games. Alcorn State's a gimme. You play North Carolina and Atlanta. That's not an easy game. I don't know. I mean,
right.
Howell's going to be back. Lance is a sophomore. He had a tremendous freshman year. Mac Brown's got them at least with a little bit of something. I mean, they're going to a bowl game. But you should win that game. You're at Ole Miss with a brand-new coach. You host Southern Miss, and then you host Kentucky before you go play Georgia. I mean, that's 5-0.
It should be, yeah.
Yeah.
But then it could just fall completely apart.
I don't know that it can, though, because after you play Georgia, you host A&M. Where are they going? You're at Mississippi State.
Is Kellen Mond coming back, or is he a senior?
No, he'll be back.
He'll be back.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah, I mean, does that scare you?
Yeah.
You host Arkansas with a new coach. You host UMass. I mean, they could be literally a one-loss team. Now, your last two games are LSU and Alabama.
Yeah, I think bad breaks. Yeah. Auburn goes 7-5 next year. But, you know, I mean, this is typical Gus, 8-4.
You could be a one-loss team going into the game against LSU and ranked in the top 10.
Well, you're right. I mean, we could go in and get blowed out by Bama and LSU and you know, same old with Gus. And that's why we just need some new blood in there, in my opinion.
All right, Scott, thank you. Well, it's impossible to fire him.
I will tell you, and I know we're going to get to this in a little bit, Brown, but Clay Helton retained for a fifth season coming back as USC's head coach in 2020. It's a similar situation.
Gus is in a better situation.
Well, I'm not saying Gus is in a worse situation. What I'm saying for the fan base is I think most USC fans want Clay Helton out, but Clay Helton did just enough to survive this year.
I guess my point is it's gotten a lot worse under Clay Helton than it has under Gus Malzahn.
Well, I don't know if it has.
Oh, yeah. Clay Helton just gave you a 5-7 last year. Gus Malzahn's been nowhere close to a 5-7.
But Clay Helton's also two of the last 3 years has given you two New Year's Six.
Yeah, I mean, Malzahn won a SEC championship, took you to a national championship game, played in another SEC championship game. He's, look, the USC-UCLA thing is nothing like the Iron Bowl, but he's 3-4, you know, against Alabama. I mean, it feels a lot better to me with Gus Malzahn than Clay Helton, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think it would be really close. Now, the 5-7 is going to jump out, but you look at the first 2 years, you go to a Rose Bowl, you win that game. Second year, you win a Pac-12 championship game. So there's been success there, but the majority of USC fans wanted him out.
Let's go to DB. He is next with us on the Jocks Roundtable. Hey, DB, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Not much. You good?
Yeah, I'm good. That last call, I'm not going to complain about Auburn's schedule because Bama's schedule is much brutal than Auburn on next year. So, like you said, it's a possibility we'll be a one-loss team, and I'm going to have faith in Gus next year and both.
Okay. I mean, no, I think he should. Now, look, Auburn's got losses coming up, personnel losses. I'm not game losses, but personnel losses coming up next year. I mean, it's going to be – there are going to be some holes you got to fill, but I think that schedule is very favorable to filling those holes. And to your point, Alabama is a little bit more difficult. I mean, Lance, for whatever it's worth, they play USC and Georgia in the first three games. That's not an easy start.
No, not at all.
Exactly. But I was calling today, guys, because, you know, I know Tua got a press conference today, and, you know, everybody loves Tua from his heroic win in Georgia, and then he came back and had a good season and got hurt. But everyone's saying how great and all the records Tua broke. And I think Lance said on yesterday that he was the greatest quarterback ever, and that's a lie. It was Cam Newton.
At Alabama.
No, at Alabama. The greatest quarterback, the most talented quarterback in Alabama history is Tua, in my opinion.
Okay. But
No.
The most talented quarterback in Alabama, but never finished. So how great would his legacy really be?
Oh, I don't know about his legacy. I think that's something we'll talk about when he's done. He may not be done yet, but.
And it's going to be a fascinating debate, conversation, because, you know, there was a lot of meat left on the bone.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he's played his last snap as an Alabama quarterback, which is entirely possible, I think
more than likely.
Yeah, you look back on it and you say, you know, look, it's not all his fault because he got injured, but I would have expected more championships from him, right?
Exactly, but that's why I feel he's got to come back, because he really – you know, he got to prove himself. He got, you know, he won on the back of Jalen Hurts for, you know, the games he won and came back and won the championship, but he never really had a true winning season.
Well, he had
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, DB, thank you. No, he had a winning season. I mean, I think the things that were left on the table for him, he never started and won a national championship season. He came in and he won a national championship. They don't win it without him. But he never had one that was his season, right?
You know, you go back last year to that Georgia game, he wasn't healthy. You know, and fortunate for Alabama is they had Jalen Hurts, and he came in, found a way to win that game and take them on to the college football playoff. And then Tua had an opportunity starting in a national championship game against Clemson to win his. But then this year, he just wasn't healthy. And I said it yesterday, and I'm sure a lot of people would disagree, but I think if Tua is healthy for the entire year, Alabama's in the 14 playoff.
That press conference is coming up this afternoon. I don't know that anybody knows exactly what he's going to say. It is entirely possible that he just hasn't really been made available to the mass media since his injury, and this is all that is.
I don't
just
know.
To talk about his rehab and things like that.
Yeah, I don't know why you would make a decision because he has until January 20th, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason you're not on the clock. Or you are, but there's a lot of time left on it.
Yeah, I mean, I would just continue to rehab, get advice, try to figure this thing out. I mean, you've got 6 weeks. By the way, did you see what this meteorite weighed that hit this Hodges girl?
It was a grapefruit size. I'd say 20 pounds.
Oh, my God, no.
Well, I mean, the one last night weighed 4 pounds, and it was only like 4 inches in diameter.
Okay, this was 8.5 pounds. But, I mean, 8 pounds.
It's like a shot put.
Again, it caught her on a hop, though. If she doesn't take it on the hop, she tries to field it clean, game over.
By the way, they were upset with the United States Air Force because they were battling over who actually owned the rock. The dude that actually owned the house, the landlord said it was his rock. The Hodges said it was their rock. Don't you give it to the girl that gets hit?
Well, I'm telling you what, I guess it had some value.
Did he make money off of it? I mean,
they ended up paying him. They paid the landlord $500 for the rock.
$500?
Yeah. $500 in 1954.
That's true. With inflation, that's more.
And then they were unable to find a buyer for the rock.
It's a bad day.
I'm telling you, if I'm asleep on the couch.
So now it's in the Smithsonian. So when you go up to D.C., you can actually see.
The Sylacauga meteorite?
Yep, you sure can.
If I'm asleep on the couch and a grapefruit-sized meteorite comes through the roof and hits me.
That's mine.
It's mine.
Yep.
Pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
I don't care if I'm renting.
Let's go to John in Huntsville next. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, if that meteor weighed 8 pounds when it hit her, it had to be a monster when it come into the atmosphere, you know, because it burned up a lot.
Yeah, that's after burn off. That thing's still 8 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but hey, have you noticed how people are just so, I'm amazed how people are bothered by Tua's decision, whether he goes or he doesn't. I was watching Get Up yesterday morning, and I thought Paul Feinbaum was going to lose it. He said that'd be ridiculous to come back, you know, just going out. What does it matter? It's Tua's decision.
It is his decision, yeah.
Yeah. And I think you should go pro. I really do. I'm a Bama fan, but, you know, I think he should instead of taking a chance. But whatever decision he makes, it's his. And I just it's almost polarizing how people are reacting. And what do you guys think about that?
Well, I think everybody's got an opinion on this. But, again, if I'm consulting, if I'm close to the Tua team, and he asks me, you got to go. I just don't know what you gain coming back unless you believe that it's really all about winning another championship. You want to prove that you can stay healthy for 12 games and you believe your stock's going to rise. I mean, Brown, did we not see a mock draft yesterday that still got Tua going to the top five?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't know. It's a huge unknown, John. But I think why people react so emotionally and passionately is really because they fear a kid coming back and another injury. And another injury for him would be brutal for his NFL draft.
Yeah, I understand that aspect of it. I do. But if there's a projection that he's going top five, he's got to go. He's got to.
Yeah, thank you.
But,
thank you, John. Yeah, those are just projections, though. Because, remember, if you get an NFL draft grade, it's not necessarily going to say top five. It'll tell you you're going to be a first-rounder. And it would be a shock to me if he fell out of the first round.
Well, look, I think 1 and 2, I think everybody knows it's going to be Chase Young or Joe Burrow, depending on who's drafting at 1 and who needs that quarterback. If it's Cincinnati at 1, it'll be Joe Burrow. If it happens to be somebody like the New York Giants or the New York Jets at number 1, you probably would have Chase Young. But after that, Justin Herbert, his stock has taken on a little bit of water over the last couple of weeks.
Right.
But is it, if you're
a quarterback,
general manager, you look at it, do you still buy more into Herbert staying healthy? Or, you know, Tua is the better quarterback, at least the better collegiate quarterback. I don't think there's any arguing there. But if you project this thing forward, do you believe Tua can stay healthy for a full 16 games?
I mean, and that's the thing. And if he comes back, Lance, and gets hurt again, what's his draft value?
Well, you know,
and I think that's why people say that.
I'm already looking at it like this. I mean, we've seen him as a starting quarterback back-to-back years. He's gotten hurt and he's missed games in back-to-back years.
Right.
So if he was to do it again, well, we're talking about 3 consecutive
exactly.
years.
And I think that's why people react so strongly about it. Let's go to Scoobs. He is next. Hey, Scoobs, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Great, thank you.
A couple of quick questions for you guys. Before I get into that, though, I did hear D.A. or D.B., but I'm going to call him D.A. now because talking about a winning season for Tua and what he's got left to prove. Did he not see how many fourth quarters Tua has played in his career or where his Heisman odds were in the SEC championship before he got injured? I mean, the dude's got nothing left to prove. If anything, risk versus reward, the risk is great. And if he can be a first-rounder, I definitely think he should go. But anyway, that's just another typical Barner. But going into what I was going to get into, going on Alabama's Christmas wish list with returnees, I don't think Tua is going to be there. My first question is, where do you guys think your feelers are on Najee and Dylan? That's what I want to ask first. Do you think that they declare, or where do you think Bama's odds are?
I've seen Dylan Moses projected in a lot of first rounds. Mm-hmm. You know, could he improve that? All right, let's just say Dylan Moses came back and had a tremendous year. How much does he
right. –
let's say, Lance, he's a 20th pick. How much can a linebacker
– I mean, if he just goes off, I mean, ends up winning the Butkus.
So
I
he
mean,
goes to the 10th pick, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, yeah. Roquan came out 2 years ago from Georgia, was number 10 overall. You're not going to crack the top 10.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. I'm not saying that's a reason. I'm just saying I don't know how much more he could increase his draft stock by another year. But there again – those projections might be wrong, Scoobs. He could be a second rounder right now, and he could play his way into the first round.
Yeah, and I think Najee's, I think he's really an interesting study because first half of the season, he didn't play great. We know about tread on tires when it comes to running backs, and most of these guys choose to come out early. But the way he played in the second half of the season.
Well, he looked like an NFL back then.
Yeah, I think he could be a back end of the first round kind of guy.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way about him. The way that he turned it on, say, South Carolina game on, especially coming out of the backfield with receptions, I thought, you know, he was pretty phenomenal. But I do agree with you guys. And then my last question, and I'll hang up and listen, is where Alabama currently sits in their recruiting. Where do you guys kind of feel like they could close this thing out as far as their class goes? And I hope you have a great afternoon, and thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. One of the weird things, Lance, when you talk recruiting is – at least recently, it's a weird thing, is that question is by and large going to be answered here in a couple days, you know? I mean, used to when we were asked that question right now, you say, well, you know, a lot could change until signing day. Well, a lot really can't change that much until signing day. If you look at 24/7, which is the composite, Alabama is second right now. They trail Clemson. Clemson's still got a little bit of work to do.
It's interesting how subjective these are because I look at ESPN, they've got Alabama at number one.
Yeah.
They've got Clemson at number four, Ohio State at number four, LSU three.
Yeah. So that's Luganville, huh? Yep. And we can ask Luges that later. Now, he's not with us till 9:30, so you're going to have to hold tight on that, but we can ask him that later. But there are still, you know, at least on 24/7, there are still some guys that Alabama is in on, like Jordan Birch, who is considering Alabama. According to 24/7 right now, Jordan Birch is their number three player in the country. That could change things. But, you know, some of these guys are considering a lot of schools, and they may not, in fact, sign in this early signing period.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw this, and I retweeted it, Mike Farrell from Rivals. USC currently ranks 70th in the rankings out of 70, and they've got East Carolina, Louisiana Tech, and Bowling Green having better classes right now than Clay Helton.
That's normally who you're not beating for players there. Not normally who you're beating for players at USC, right? Yeah, those types of schools?
I just don't understand that. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, your coach has been twisting in the wind. I mean, I would imagine it's been hard for Clay. I don't know that he's a great recruiter anyway, Lance, but I would imagine it's been pretty hard for him to go out and recruit right now.
Yeah, but even if you've got teams like South Carolina, Mississippi State, you know, Wisconsin, Northwestern, I mean, these are teams, Purdue in the top 30. Get these kids on campus. You're going to be able to take kids away from those programs.
You have to think. You're right. All right, and real quick, I want to go to line two here. This is Alex. Can I use your last name? You cool with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, this is Alex Page. Now, Alex was an intern up here many years ago, and we taught him so well in radio that he went on to be an NFL scout. So he didn't work in radio. He's an NFL scout now, or was an NFL scout for the Bears and the Falcons. Am I right about that, Alex? Did I get that right?
That's right. I was an intern with the Bears for a year and then worked for the Falcons the rest of my NFL career.
Yeah, so Alex was listening in, and he said, I can answer some of the questions we've had. So how does callers were asking this NFL draft grade. So if I go before the NFL advisory committee, they give me a draft grade. Tell me how that works.
Well, so the player submits a request, or the school does, on the player's behalf. I was a low man on the totem pole, so I was a combine scout. So you have two scouting services, combine and Blesto. So when guys would come out, because I had the Midwest region. So the one time, the one year I did it, it was Sean Green was coming out of Iowa. So each scout will submit a report per their area, and then it goes to Jeff Foster. I'm sure you heard that name. He was the one that the NFL requested to handle the Colin Kaepernick workout in Atlanta.
Right.
So it goes to him, and then he kind of disseminates it from there. Now there are a lot of hands, within the pot in terms of submitting grades. So it's not just me, and the teams are not just going off of with the grade that I submit. So there are some other people that are higher up, some other GMs with other teams that also submit grades as well. So so yes, but it is the grade that is submitted. It is just in general, hey, he's first or second round. There's nothing specific that's going to say, hey, this guy's going to be a first round pick. It is kind of the grade itself is kind of generic. So
do I get a first round grade or do I get a first or second round grade?
I think it's kind of in general. I think if I remember correctly, I think it may be kind of a first or second round grade.
Okay, and then I think it's like third through fifth or something like that. Okay.
Yes.
But there's not only 64 guys out there getting a first or second round grade. I mean, that
correct.
Right. So that's the thing.
Everyone's grade is going to be different.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, and a lot of it is based upon obviously if the guy's not good enough, we're going to submit a grade to encourage the guy to stay.
Right.
Now, to Lance's point where he talked about guys having enough confidence in themselves, despite the grade they get, they're going to make a decision on their own. They're going to come out. And then sometimes if they test well, they shoot up the charts, so to speak. If not, then they probably fall within the grade that was given to them, or they go undrafted too.
Yeah, but injury never factors into your grade, right?
Not necessarily, no. It's all based upon what they do on Saturdays. Now, and also some schools, depending upon which school you go to, some schools will talk to you about their juniors that could come out because they know that it's highly likely the kids are going to come out. So they will talk about that kid to scouts. Other schools, most of them do not talk about their juniors or their redshirt sophomores who could come out whenever scouts go in to talk about their senior class kids.
I would imagine Saban would be on the side that does. I mean, he's very encouraging of his players that can to go to the NFL. Yeah,
he would be one that would probably do that. Now, and also he may not talk to everybody that all the scouts that come in there. He may just talk to certain people that he knows.
Right.
So like I said, some schools do that. So what happens is with the and you really don't start. Basically, that report is basically what they do on Saturday. Now, when you start getting into character and how they are as leaders and family dynamics and who's at home and who's coming with them, that kind of doesn't happen until after they declare for the draft itself.
Right.
But to that point, if you're, say, hypothetically, we're going to talk about Saban, and he's pretty upfront with saying, okay, Tua may come out, then I'm going to go ahead and, you know, talk about his leadership, you know, what kind of kid he is, what kind of family he comes from. You know, that kind of thing. So in the midst of you writing a report on the kid, you also have some character information as well tied into that. But whenever they submit a request for their draft status, that information is not going to be in there. That's just from a team. That character information will be added into the team report.
Okay. So there's Alex. So he flourished here at Jocks as an intern and went on to be an NFL scout. So did anything you learn here at Jocks help you to be an NFL scout?
Yeah, because a lot of it, you know, when you're sitting there, obviously you learn basically from a interview standpoint. A lot of it is talking to players, because certain schools you're allowed to talk to the kids. They'll present the kids to you. You're interviewing coaches. You're talking to people. They're basically anyone that comes in contact with that player, whether it be in affiliated with the school. Or it could be, you know, some bar owner downtown. So you're going to run the gamut of people, you know, high school coaches. So whenever the character comes into play, you're talking to a multitude of people who know that kid. Because not every person at the school knows the kid that well. So you have to talk to the high school coach who may know the kid and the family.
Yeah.
And because sometimes, obviously, as you know, you have coaching changes. So, you know, new staff comes in, they don't really know the kid that well. Some staff that have been there for a while, they kind of know the kid fairly well, you know the family. And then depending upon where you live, there are some scouts that live here in Birmingham or live, you know, in the South. So they're going to have, you know, some news articles or whatever of, you know, Tua's family, you know, and kind of have a general idea of, oh, okay, well, you know, this kid, you know, moved from Hawaii, you know, parents are heavily involved, faith, you know, that whole nine yards. I'm just speaking of Tua, just using him as a prime example. But so, yeah, from learning from what I learned from you all is basically just how to talk to people. So it's beginning, and obviously having the broadcast major background, that kind of played into being able to, you know, talk to people. Because you're not only interviewing them at the school, you're interviewing them at All-Star Games, Senior Bowl, Shrine, Combine. So you're going to in general, that's kind of what I learned from you knuckleheads over there.
Glad we could help. Alex, thank you. It's good talking with you again.
No problem, man. See you all.
All right, see ya. We've had interns going to do some. I mean, we've had one, so flight attendant, right?
We got one that got run out of the building last night.
Interesting. I would like to hear that story.
Garrison Brooks.
Oh, got run out of the building. Right. I thought you
talking
were
talking about
like,
Ohio State and the just how they dominated North Carolina.
I thought you were talking about at Odie's. I thought we had an intern get run out of the
building. I was like, damn, what did he do?
I know. We've had one that was an NFL player is now a coach, and Tim Castile. He was an NFL player while Alex went on to be an NFL scout. I mean, I feel like we've had some successful interns. Let's go to Dusty. He is next. Hey, Dusty, welcome into the Jocks Roundtable. How are you?
I'm fine. So the thing about Tua, this is one thing, you know, think about his wins and losses. The only big game he's ever won was the national championship against Georgia, and he came in off the bench. All the other games, he went out with an injury in the SEC championship. He couldn't beat LSU this year. I don't know of another big win that Tua himself has won as the starter.
What about Oklahoma last year?
That was a semifinal game.
I mean, he dominated Oklahoma.
Pretty good game, but
pretty good. You know, he dominated.
Did Oklahoma really belong in that?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
it was the playoffs.
Yeah, they did.
I agree. But anyways, it's just like this year with the fourth team. It's always it could be anybody. But let's just say that's one win.
Okay, to his point, Lance. I mean, I don't think Alabama's schedule is part of the problem here, but it's not flush with amazing wins for Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, Joe Burrow will finish with more probably, but yeah, I would not discount that Oklahoma win. I mean,
he dominated. You know, it wasn't like Auburn was an awful team last year, were they?
No.
I mean, he dominated Auburn by 30 plus points.
Yeah.
That Mississippi State defense didn't have a great game against them, but.
No, he did not, but that was still a fairly big win.
You know, I mean, outside of that. I mean, LSU, when they played LSU, what was LSU ranked last year?
I think they were fifth.
I think they were third.
Were they third? Was it first versus third? 29-0. He put a beat down on them.
Yeah, and he went close to 300.
Here's what's happened. Tua made a lot of that look really easy. Every Thursday, generally it's every Thursday, Rockstar gives our Four Downs questions. They are never sports related, always off the beaten path. And Four Downs is presented by our friends at Vulcan Tire and Automotive.
Four great locations, Gardendale, Hoover, Moody, and Trustful. Hunting season is here. The guys at Vulcan do tires for ATVs and trailers. Get set up this fall season at one of those locations or go online to VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
First down.
What myth about men is untrue and infuriates you when you hear it?
Well, I don't get infuriated, but I don't think we always don't ask for directions. I know it's different now with GPS, but, you know, back in the day, and I was watching The Irishman, and Brown, I think you've started the movie.
Yeah, I'm about an hour in, I think.
But he's mapping his trip to Detroit.
Yeah, that was funny. He's got the magnifying glass out in the marker. It was so funny.
I just remember having the old maps. And, look, they could get a little tricky, and you take a wrong turn on one of those maps, you really get lost. But I was one of those that I would always pull over to the gas station, and I would ask for directions.
Damien is in here. Do you have one, Damien?
Yeah, I was about to say, like, asking for help.
Yeah.
I mean, if I need it, I'm asking.
It doesn't infuriate me, but the fact that men don't listen. There are a lot of times I listen, but I'm just absorbing it at all before I respond.
What?
I mean, I'm listening, but I'm going to absorb everything and then ask my questions at the end of the presentation, right?
Second down.
What random encounter with a stranger do you think about often?
I think I told you guys I worked at Amazing Pictures at Universal Studios out in Studio City.
Right.
And back in, this was the summer of 1996, and there were a lot of, it was the opening of that Jurassic Park ride, so there were a lot of celebrities that actually came through. But I'll never forget Sam Elliott came through, and he had, you know, this wad of $100 bills. And the thing that was unique, it was when the new $100 bill had turned.
Right.
So it was the first time I had never seen one of the $100 bills was from Sam Elliott. So And I remember him talking about how counterfeit they looked and just what a nice guy he was. But every time I see a $100 bill, I think about Sam Elliott.
What if he just said, hey, we'd like to have our picture made, please?
Nope, didn't work like that.
Did he still have the gravel in his throat?
The banquet beer.
That's a pretty good one.
You stole my voice.
Man, there was one time I was working at the Birmingham Zoo at the time.
Well, I didn't know this. Yeah, that this mean you worked at the Birmingham Zoo?
This is my first.
What was your job there?
I was in the gift shop. I was in
the gift shop. So okay.
It was a Friday morning, and I had to open up, and we went out that Thursday night, so I was kind of hungover or whatever, and there was a customer that came in. And I was ringing him up, and I felt like bad in my stomach. I was like, excuse me one second. I couldn't make it to the bathroom, so I walked right outside the door, threw my head out, vomited, came back, put some gum in my mouth, and rang up the order. And I was like, I hope she doesn't think about this.
Oh, my gosh.
It bothered me to the whole day.
It's my perfume.
Did she have
bad
kids with her?
No, it was just her. She was actually buying gifts for the kids, and I was like, oh, man.
And so you just had to go reverse outside?
Yeah, had to.
So did Ball see you?
No.
See, I don't know why, but I read this as celebrity encounter rather than just stranger encounter. Yeah, because mine is Al Sharpton in the Atlanta airport. Nicer guy than I would have thought.
Big Al Sharpton or skinny Al Sharpton?
No, it was Big Al Sharpton. But the thing that surprised me the most is that he didn't have the entourage. Like, you see Al Sharpton, he's always got an entourage. In the Atlanta airport, it was just him and another guy.
Wow.
And you know who I was with randomly? Was Chris Stewart, the voice of Alabama basketball. And he and I looked at each other and were like, is that Al Sharpton? And we didn't say a word. And Chris Stewart goes, oh, I didn't even say a word to him. I just look at Chris and goes, it sure is.
Well, Big Al had a distinct look. I don't think.
Yeah, he had a very distinct look.
Mistaken him from somebody else.
Yeah, shorter than I might have thought, though.
Third down.
The other one was Bill O'Reilly in the men's room here, the former Fox anchor. I didn't even know he was in the building. He was hosting his radio show at one of our studios when he was in town. And I'm washing my hands. He comes in and stands at the urinal, right, and starts going. Really nice guy.
Under the no spin zone.
Yeah. And he goes, and he looks over and strikes up the conversation. He goes, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm great. How are you? Oh, I'm wonderful, man. I said, are you in Birmingham? Like, this is a great city. You know, I haven't spent my it was really nice. Turns out he wasn't.
What words can literally destroy a person?
I would go weight. I think anything you say about somebody's weight.
Have you lost weight? That doesn't destroy
you. Well, no, it doesn't on that side, but that's something that will stick with you. I think that would be
the so compliment. I was fat?
Yeah, I think if you call somebody fat or, boy, you've gained some weight.
You've lost your fastball.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's one of those that can linger for a long time.
I don't love you anymore. There's no way you're rebounding from that one in a relationship, right?
I have to go brown now.
I love you. I'm just not in love with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one there. I don't see how you rebound from that.
I mean, unless that person's schizophrenic, and then they can turn around and love you
there
the
is,
next
there
hour.
There is that, yes. I guess we could find a caveat to all these.
Damien?
Oh, I was agreeing with Brian.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. You've never heard that, have you?
Yeah, not.
Okay, good.
Not
Damien. He's a ladies' man.
I was telling Lunsford, I thought of this randomly Monday night. It was prompted by something. But at the age of 15, you are given the opportunity to pick the sound that happens when you break wind. This choice is permanent. What do you think you would have chosen?
I'll go with this. A pin click.
But you don't think 15-year-old you would have something like smart ass or something like that? Right. You're like, I have to live with this when I'm 75 years old.
I don't know, but a pin click is just so subtle. Yeah, and it can be annoying if somebody's clicking the pin, but it just wouldn't be that bad.
I was thinking of birds tweeting. Oh, there are birds outside?
Or an old man clearing his throat.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, clearing my throat.
Yeah, but you don't want it to be anything that jumps out, that gives you away.
Yeah. If I'm 15, it could be funny, though, right? I mean, that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm
saying. Like, 15,
your 15-year-old mind would have done something.
This is going to be hilarious.
It could be your Shazam, right?
Shazam.
How many people would say the Alabama-Auburn fight song?
I wish.
Could you imagine?
That's long.
That's long.
Just the first bars, yeah.
Touchdown, Alabama!
That's Four Downs, presented by our friends at Vulcan Tire and Automotive.
Four great locations for you, Gardendale, Hoover, Moody, and Trustful. Hunting season is here. The guys at Vulcan do tires for ATVs and trailers. Get set up this hunting season at one of those great locations, or go online, go to VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
Chuck says the phrase that will stick with you, the years have not been kind to you. Boy, if you say that to somebody. I mean, that one is going to stick with you. There's
no
doubt
about
it.
A turn for the worse.
I saw this stat last night. This is crazy. It's from College Football Nerds at CFB Nerds that says, you want to know how bad Alabama's injury run has been? Mock drafts have some combination of all these guys in the first round, Lance. You ready? Trayvon Diggs, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Terrell Lewis, Devontae Smith, Jedrick Wills, and Dylan Moses, right?
Yep.
And three full seasons of football, those guys have never all played in the same game.
Are you kidding?
Wow.
Tua Tagovailoa, I left Tua out, I'm sorry. Tua, Diggs, Ruggs, Judy, Lewis, Smith, Wills, and Moses.
Wow.
In 3 years, they've never played in the same game. That's according to College Football Nerds, at CFB Nerds. That's an insane stat if that's true. I mean, I'm sure they've done their work. That is crazy. I could not believe that when I saw it last night.
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
Interact with us on Twitter, at Jux Roundtable.